Welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, the latest on shares, markets and investments, now available on your Amazon Alexa.
Hello and welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, now also available on the UK Investor Magazine mobile app. For today's podcast, we're going to be looking at a selection of UK equities, and we're also going to be running through some of the key themes out there in markets at the moment. And to do that, we have with us very kindly once more, Alan Green. Alan, thanks so much for being on the podcast this morning.
Good morning again, John.
So, Alan, we're just speaking just before the podcast. We've got a particularly interesting selection of stocks that we're going to be looking at later on in the podcast. We've got Pets at Home, Halfords and Harland and Wolf. Particularly good moves out there in Harland and Wolf again this morning. So we're going to be looking at what's happening there and sort of crunch some of the numbers. But before we get into the individual equities, Alan, let's just have a quick look at the FTSE 100, because we were speaking, you know, it's probably some weeks ago now about how the FTSE 100 could perform going forward. And I raised the notion that we could actually see the FTSE breaking up to all-time highs at a time that the UK is in a recession. And with a mini budget last week and the economic forecasts that were delivered alongside that, there were comments that we were already in a recession here in the UK. Obviously, that's not been finalised yet, because you know, a technical recession, two quarters of declining growth. We haven't yet had that yet, but very likely we are in it. And we're seeing the FTSE 100 this morning, Alan, really outperforming Europe in as far as it's actually up on the day, up 0.4%, just shy of 7,500. While we're looking at European indices, which are in the red, and some of them quite deep in the red. I mean, it's obviously being driven by commodities. It is something that we've discussed previously. It's very much a China story. I mean, that view, Alan, that we could see the FTSE 100 breaking to record highs whilst we're in a recession here in the UK. I mean, is there anything you can add to that? Or do you think that's something that won't happen? Or do you think it's very much on the table?
I think it's very much on the table, John. I mean, we of course, the FTSE is always and indices always look 6 to 9 months ahead. So the FTSE maybe is now looking at the end of the recessionary period for the UK. And of course, that's a Brexit based UK, and that's companies able to do business with the rest of the world unencumbered by the EU shackles. And you know, I've seen comments on Twitter saying, oh, you know, the EU countries are outperforming the UK in GDP at the moment. And of course, that might be true. But longer term, of course, there's a reset. And I think what the FTSE at the moment is showing that it's very confident in our ability as a standalone economy to do business with the rest of the world. Obviously, the FTSE is largely dollar-based, so it's reflecting the strength in the dollar as ever, but it also reflects a great cross-section of British technology companies, UK technology companies, and of course, the resources companies that are really going to drive growth and recovery in both the UK economy and also participate in recovering economies around the world, of course, particularly China.
So, I mean, when we're looking at where we are now, just beneath 7,500 on the FTSE, all-time high on the FTSE 100, 7,877. You know, that's not, well, you know, it's a fair distance away, but it's not particularly far. I mean, is this really just a China story and the miners? And of course, you know, companies like Prudential, HSBC and Standard Chartered, of course, have a big exposure to China. You know, when we start to see China move out of this zero COVID policy, is that the catalyst that you see getting us up to those higher levels if we get there?
Yes, it is. But also on another level. I mean, we were talking, of course, about conferences in the UK. The UK is still, no matter what anyone says, one of the most, if not the most important financial centre in the world for companies seeking to raise money. And indeed, we're hearing from companies further down the scale, some of the smaller companies that are attending investment shows in London, which is, of course, the last few months of the year are normally fairly busy for investors in London. And we're hearing about investors going to these shows and companies attending these shows and seeing record levels of interest and record numbers of attendees. So clearly, investor, the smart money is looking at the UK as a very safe place to do business and a very safe bet. So I think I don't think the position we find the FTSE in at the moment is overboard at all. I think it's reflecting a great deal of confidence and a great deal of forward strength in the UK economy, and that's not just mining and resource, and of course technology, which of course is going to be key going forward. But it's confidence in our ability to do business with the rest of the world. And of course, one of the companies we're going to talk about this morning, Harland and Wolff, is a very good exponent of that. You know, it's a company that's doing business all over the world, but I'll come to that shortly. But we are also leaders in technology. You know, we're innovators. You know, it's a great country for innovation in biotech, in IT, in all sorts of areas of technology. And you know, so many great companies have started here in the UK, and I think now we can be a little more UK-centric in our outlook rather than having to be focused on being a member of the EU. I think that's going to stand us in great stead going forward. And I think what's happening in the FTSE at the moment is a reflection of that.
Indeed. Indeed. There's research out just recently, which was pointing to London, is that the top capital for tech in Europe. So definitely that technology scene here in London remains strong. And that's going to be a leader of innovation for the economy going forward. So I'm sure there's going to be some new tech stories coming up. We're going to be keeping an eye on the podcast. So we'll be relaying those as soon as we hear them. But Alan, now let's get into the companies that we're going to be looking at this morning. Of course, we listed them at the beginning. Pets at Home, Halfords and Harland & Wolff. Let's start with Pets at Home, Alan. A particular winner from the pandemic when everybody went out and bought themselves a puppy or maybe a kitten. And they've had a very, very strong performance since before the pandemic. But we've had an update this morning. So what do their numbers look like now?
Well, it's certainly from a charting standpoint, the last little while has looked very positive. We've seen since October a series of higher lows in the run-up to the numbers today. So this is the interim results announced today for the 28-week period to October 13th. A huge increase in pet ownership, as you pointed out. The term lockdown puppy is going to enter English folklore, I think, because lots of people now have lockdown dogs and pets, which they're now taking out, and the dogs get nervous when they're seeing people. But of course, that's quite understandable. But the amount of money we spend on our pets, and certainly our family are no exception in this regard, you know, shows absolutely no limits at all, because your pet's a member of the family. It's like a son or daughter. So money is no object. And that's regardless of the inflationary pressures that we're seeing and everything else. So the results this morning are very strong. Revenue growth of 7.3% to 727 million. The company, of course, trades on a market capitalization of 1.4 billion. Also pays a 4% dividend as well. Shares are currently trading at £2.290, just off 254p year low, but have been as high during the year as just under 500p per share or £5 per share. So arguably, given these results this morning, the company has held its full year profit guidance. And on its results, it's showing a year-on-year profit bridge. We're seeing a lot of growth in the veterinary business. And of course, this is we've seen over the past few years many companies in the sector acquiring veterinary surgeons. So of course, whereas you had your town or village veterinary surgeon, all of these now are being acquired by larger groups such as Pets at Home or CVC Group and others. And of course, the the economies of scale that can be applied there are huge, and Pets at Home is no exception. Its revenue from veterinary work grew by 12.4%. Like-for-like revenue is up 10.5%. Retail revenue growth grew by just under 7%. But of course, the group is investing into its tech and IT, so it's building its online offering. And with the inflationary pressures, it's provided a year-on-year profit bridge, predicting profits at the year end of 68.1 million and profits next year of 59 million. And those are with the inflationary pressures and the investment the company's making into its technology. The dividend has also increased to 4.5p per share, which is up 4.7%. And of course, the group are they're trying to lock in user loyalty. So they have a puppy and kitten club. And signups were averaging 29,000 signups per week in quarter two. That's three times higher than the pre-pandemic levels. So clearly that signals that people are worried about inflationary pressures, because these clubs offer discounts for members, maybe a price cap. So something that gives members visibility on forward costs in caring for their pet, and that's very important, I think, too. So this is a huge and resilient sector, and certainly the chief executive who came in, Lisa McGowan, who came in as chief exec, says the first half performance shows progress and resilience, and looking forward. Of course, they've laid out the profits. The prospects remain strong. The continuing with strategic investments, and given the better than expected progress, they remain committed to investing into the business going forward. So it's a very strong sector. It's a very defensive sector too. I think you'd have to see a major change in the economic outlook for the UK before revenues for this company would be impacted. So given the sort of the moderate growth we've seen in the run up since October, I'd expect to see, once the share price consolidates, it's off. Shares are currently off about 4.5% at the moment, which is often the way. People buy the rumor and sell on the news. Of course, that nothing changes there. That's a common trading habit. But I think going forward, I think we will see further growth from the company. So probably it's a good opportunity to get in before the ex-dividend date, and continue to gain from this very defensive and resilient stock.
Yeah, so I'm just looking here at the share price, Alan. Just before the pandemic started in February of 2020, you were looking at a share price of Pets at Home that was around £3.05. Compared today, share price £2.90. And they're earning a hell of a lot more money now than they were then. As you said, dividend around 4%. The P/E ratio on this isn't particularly high either. So, certainly any further weakness in these shares does make it an attractive prospect, given that it's, a lot of those revenues coming in, as you've highlighted, there are fairly reliable. As you said, people will always spend money on their pets. An interesting one there, fairly solid set of numbers. And as you said, Alan, I think it's more of a case of, sort of buy the rumor, sell the fact on the results. I mean, it has fallen, quite sharply since its highs, around £5. But sort of looking at those numbers, one that should be kept on a watch list. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, well, certainly with pre-tax profits for the year, their guidance at 131 million. As you say, it's not a particularly racy valuation, and those numbers are reliable. And of course, they've planned ahead. They've forecast their results going forward based on expected cost inflation and everything else. And if inflation is peaking now, as our pundits seem to think, and of course the Bank of England have forecast lower peak interest rates than some had initially thought, then I think the company does offer reasonable value at these levels.
Indeed. So moving on now, Alan, to Halfords, having not a particularly great session this morning, down about 7% as we look here. But again, you know, as if you take the chart of Pets at home and you take the chart of Halford, there's not much difference in them. You know, strong rally after the initial sell-off in the pandemic, saw highs in mid sort of 2021 and tailed off quite significantly since. Again, Halfords was really enjoying great demand for bikes during the pandemic, but they're starting to shift their strategy slightly at the moment, Alan. So what's happening there?
Well, yeah, again, I mean, I think this company is undervalued. You've got a market capitalization of 450 million, and the company is generating revenues that are higher than that. But of course, I think the concerns are, of course, with the high overheads the group has and the commitments going forward to property, to landlords, and so on. But I mean, the company's delivered a really, really sort of good set of numbers today. First off, revenue of 765 million, which is quite astonishing given the lowly market capitalization. Year-on-year underlying pre-tax profits fell to 28.9 million, just to 29 million. So I think it's the margins are pretty slim. And of course, that's an issue, I think, for investors, you know, because it can very quickly turn to a loss. And then, of course, you've got a loss-making group that's saddled with these huge outgoings. So the group has said forecast underlying profit before tax at the lower range of expectations, 65 million to 75 million, which is quite wafer thin on the sort of numbers and turnover the group deliver. But there is a 4.5% dividend on offer here. Interim dividend 3 pence is being paid out. So again, there are sort of issues with the Halfords business model going forward. So the cycle division, as we said just now, hasn't performed particularly well. The numbers have come down there because of competition. Of course, we've now got online competition where bikes are sold online, and lots of innovative manufacturers are going it alone and selling directly themselves. And of course, that's that cuts out the middleman like Halfords. But certainly, it has the garage services offering. Service sales, I think, could be a real winner for Halfords going forward, because the prospect of higher motoring costs, obviously we've got sky high fuel prices still at the moment, but the prospect of higher motoring costs is always off-putting. And of course, Halfords, in the same way that Pets at Home have their puppy and kitten group, the Halfords have their own motoring loyalty club. So again, this offers fixed cost benefits to members, visibility going forward, and of course, in a time of uncertainty and high inflation, that's all important. So the company said it's seen strong strategic progress through the loyalty club. Memberships grew well above expectations. Contributed significantly to a solid underlying profit performance. There are sort of issues with pre-lease debt, but overall the group's got a strong net cash position, so the company is in good shape going forward. It has obviously downgraded its profits, but I think that's inevitable given the backdrop, and of course we've got this strategy shift into new businesses. It acquired a company called Lodge Tires, a commercial tire business. Over 90% of the Lodge Tire sales goes directly to businesses, which is part of the Halfords strategy evolution, if you like. So it's diversifying, it's moving into new areas. The motoring club was certainly cited by Chief Exec Graham Stapleton today as a cornerstone of the group, the group's strategy going forward, because customers are, as he says, quote unquote, customers continue to be attracted by a range of discounts and offers aimed at helping motorists across the UK with rocketing costs of running and maintaining a car. So that's a key cornerstone of their strategy going forward. But also they're looking to employ 1,000 new automotive technicians, and they're going out to retired automotive engineers to bring them back into the workforce. You know, plenty of people in their who may have retired now, maybe are looking at their pension versus the spiraling cost of living and thinking they're going to have to go back to work. So, of course, Halfords will benefit from that. But certainly, I think if Halfords can address their fixed costs and develop profits through Lodge Tyres, through the Lodge Tyre acquisition, and also through the Motoring Loyalty Club, you know, cycle sales could rebound. They may readdress the strategy that they're currently using with cycle sales, and they could readdress that, and that could see another surge in sales later on. But certainly, they've got plenty of tools at their disposal, I believe, to address the issue. And I think, you know, you look at the valuation of the group versus the money that it actually brings in, I think we could see a turnaround and possibly a re-rating once there's further evidence going down the road that that the group is starting to grow profits once again.
Indeed. And just looking at the share price over the past month or so, I mean, it even at this price here, of course, it's down 7% today, but it's more than 50% off of its lows that we saw back in very late September, early October. So, you know, if you take the chart out on a larger time scale, of course, it's down heavily from the highs that we saw during the pandemic. But there's certainly been some interest for Halfords at these lower levels, maybe a bit of profit taking from short term traders that we're seeing today. But, you know, that shift in their business model and the way that they're changing things, you know, again, we were talking about the reliability of cash flows at Pets at Home. Similar setup here with Halfords. Of course, they're exposed to the consumer and they'll get, you know, tarred with the same brush as every consumer stock will out there. And, you know, to some extent, rightly so. But, you know, the business model that they're changing towards and looking at these reoccurring revenues, you know, it does make it interesting at these levels. Again, it's got a 4.5% dividend yield, which is, you know, fairly decent. It's certainly higher than the FTSE 100 average at this point in time. So, yeah, again, maybe one to put on the watch list.
Well, I think certainly that growth in revenue, that's the key. I think, you know, look at what the, you know, revenue growth of 31% in the 6 months over the year does show that the group is certainly doing the right thing. But, of course, it's got to address its profitability. So you know, given the group, the size of Halfords and its diversity, I think it will have opportunities to do that. So, you know, at these levels, it probably does offer a decent opportunity for growth. And of course, you've got that 4.5% dividend to boot.
Exactly. So, Alan, now let's move on to the final stock we're going to discuss today. Harland and Wolff. They've just been awarded, as part of a consortium, a game-changing, really, contract win from the Ministry of Defence for 3 battleships. Now, this isn't and hasn't just been a win for Harland Wolff and their shareholders. It's been a win for the UK economy. 1,200 shipyard jobs expected to be created from this, 800 indirect jobs, and the contract is expected to use UK steel. Huge move up in the share price in recent weeks, Alan. Looking at it now, I mean, how high could this share price go?
It's a great story, isn't it, John? It really is. And yeah, I mean, currently the company's got a valuation of 39 million, but it's got an incredible history. I mean, Harland & Wolff is a really old company. It was founded by Sir Edward Harland and Gustav Wolff in 1861. And of course, you've got those iconic crane gantries in Belfast, the big yellow crane gantries, which are a landmark. You know, if you visit Belfast, and you know, they're it's a great advertisement for the company and its history. And you know, history it's got in spades. I mean, it built the Titanic, for heaven's sake. You know, this is the company that built the Titanic. The unsinkable ship, obviously we know what happened. It also built RMS Olympic, the Royal Yacht Britannia, SS Canberra. It's built super tankers, and of course, it's a very diverse company in that it has, obviously in Belfast, one of the largest dry docks in Europe, but it has it also has a shipyard in Appledore in Devon. It has in last year it acquired Methil and on the east coast of Scotland. Arnish on the west coast of Scotland. Those are shipyards and fabrication depots for energy and defense. So on the energy side, it works and maintains oil rigs. Obviously, shipbuilding, we know about defense and naval shipping and MOD work. It also works on builds, develops services, and also decommissions cruise ships, ferries, and large fishing vessels. And also undertakes structural work as well. So builds vessels and bridges, building and loading frames. It also recently announced a contract win to rebuild the M55. So that was a huge win for the group. The company also owns Ireland Magee Group, which is it's a huge gas storage facility, and this storage project facility supplies up to 25% of the UK's natural gas storage capacity. So you think of where we are now in terms of our requirements for energy going forward. This is a hugely important asset to own, and it's owned outright by H&W. The company is run by John Wood, Chief Executive, Aaron Rahman, Chief Finance Officer, Malcolm Goat, Chairman. On the board, you've also got Sir Jonathan Bond, Non-Exec Director, and Katia Zatova, who is also a Non-Exec. In September this year, I'll go back to August first of all, because we're looking at the current share price trading at about 23p. In August, the company announced it had won three contracts in quick succession. With Corey, it won two contracts, one worth 8.5 million, one worth just under 10 million. The M55 regeneration contract, I've already mentioned, that's worth 55 million. And the group said it was comfortable with its guidance and revenues between 65 and 75 million on the year. And these are with ongoing margins of 22%. So you then look forward, it's projecting 100 to 115 million. Profitability for next year, 2023, and then 200 to 230 million for the year after that. Now, this was back in August before the MOD contract was announced, and I'll come to that in a second. So based on that valuation, with a 22% margin, you're already looking at a share price of around 30p. So we then come to September, strong set of interims, revenues of 15.4 million, gross margin maintained 22%. Then, of course, the Ireland Magee outcome was deferred to January 2023. There are some issues, there are some environmental issues with the contract, but those are expected to be resolved at a court hearing in January next year. So I think once that's resolved, then we're going to see a complete reset on the valuation with the Ireland Magee contract. Then, of course, this month they announced the huge contract with the MOD to build three support ships for the Royal Fleet Auxiliary. And these, of course, are ships that will supply munitions and stores to ships at sea. The bid consortium Team Resolute consists of Harland & Wolff, Navantia and BMT. What it means is that 77 million of investment will go back into Harland & Wolff, as you said, John, creating 1,200 jobs. But also at the same time, as well as creating those additional jobs, it will provide upskilling for the rest of the workforce and also an expansion and upgrade of their facilities. So it's won this huge contract. It can now go out with the upskilled workforce and with the expansion of facilities, and it can win more contracts. And I think we're just at the beginning of the Harland & Wolff regeneration story here. So it's a hugely exciting time for the company. And as I say, just bear in mind those numbers. The numbers they announced in August equate to 30p in today's terms, and that was before the 1.6 billion MOD contract win. So just do the math.
So, Alan, are there any indications of what the margins look like for Harland & Wolff on this new MOD contract and what that could mean for them in terms of, you know, potential bottom line?
Not yet. They've not announced that, but given that with the September interims, they announced gross margins were maintained at 22%, I think it's reasonable to expect that given the investment that goes into it, those margins will most likely be maintained. They could even improve. I don't know is the answer, but I think if you're calculating an investment case, I think you'd have to work on what they currently work on as a company. And I'm sure, knowing John Wood and his team, they will have locked in plenty of margin for the company going forward.
Indeed, indeed. Certainly a very exciting stock to be keeping an eye on at the moment. So let's just recap the stocks that we discussed today. First of all was Pets at Home with a ticker of PETS. It was then Halfords, which has a ticker of HFD. And to finish off was Harland and Wolf with a ticker of HARL. Alan, thank you very much for being on the podcast today.
Thank you, John.
So just a note to listeners, we have the next instalment of our virtual conferences coming up in early December. Do check out your emails if you're a subscriber to UK Investor Magazine. You'll be receiving invites in the coming days. And we'll also have that live to be signed up to on the UK Investor Magazine website in the next couple of days or so. Thank you very much for listening.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the UK Investor Magazine podcast. Please do share the podcast, and we really value any reviews and comments you leave us in your chosen podcast player. The views presented by the hosts and guests of the UK Investor Magazine podcast are in no way investment advice, and please remember all investment involves risk.